Thank you for that song, ladies. The wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. What a wonderful thought. And well, it is our privilege tonight to have our missionary to Hawaii here with us. And it's been our privilege really the last few weeks to have you back with us, Brother Stills. And Travis is going to share God's word with us this evening. And I'm sure probably give just some things, maybe as I know you've said some things already since you've been here, but just as the way that things have been going. And he's going to share God's word with us. And as you listen to him tonight, I'd encourage you just to let this be a time and a reminder of his family and what they're trying to do, and what he's going to do tonight is what he'll do when he's there on the mission field and serving God in that capacity. I'm so thankful for the Stills. Their girls have been with us at Junior Day Camp all week. Sierra has been, this is her first year helping with Junior Day Camp, and she's been doing a wonderful job, and it's a wonderful family, and we have the privilege of hearing Travis this evening. And so, Travis, you come, and you share God's word with us this evening at this time.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate that. Appreciate you fine folks being here tonight. We have found a building. As I said a few weeks ago, we are pushing forward towards August 25th as our first service there on Oahu. We will be approximately 5 minutes away from Schofield Barracks, Wheeler Army Airfield. Will be the sixth independent Baptist church there on the island. The island has around 1 million people or so. So there is a great need. We are currently going to a church called Ohana Baptist Church. They had a mission to, or a vision to push forward with. They wanted to plant 10 churches on the island. We are one of those. They will be helping us get started, and for several weeks, maybe some of the families will stay with us, help us door knock, help us get established. But what's unique about a military church is people are only stationed there for maybe 2 to 3 years. So every 2 to 3 years, you're getting a new rotation. So you're always having to reach out and soul win. You're trying to disciple. You're trying to win these men and women in uniform to the Lord. Now, about 50% of the churches there are from the Philippines or from Japan or from Asia. And so you got about a half military and about a half of the locals there that we'll be trying to reach. So I really appreciate and would covet your prayers moving forward as we try to get started and trying to reach this island and helping do our part to reach this island with the gospel. Turn in your Bibles tonight to Psalm number 23. Psalm 23. My wife's not here tonight, so I'm gonna tell you a little something about her. We had been attending services there at a little church called Kolau Baptist. And the pastor was talking about how in the Bible that they added an I-T-E on the end of each nation to name each people, like the Israelites and the Moabites. And I sat there for a minute and I thought about it and I said, well, honey, since you're from Paris, that would just make you a parasite. So if you see her, don't tell her I said that, okay? I've titled this message tonight, The Shepherd, the Sheep, and the Shadow. And we'll read the whole chapter. I hope you got your fingers ready because I got a lot of Bible tonight we're going to read. I hope you love the Word of God. The Word of God, it means so much to me. It means more to me now than it did yesterday. And I don't know where I'd be without this book right here. This is something we can depend on. This world is changing so quickly, but God never changes and His Word never changes. You can depend on it. It is alive, folks. It is alive. Let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You so much for the Word of God and how it's alive and speaks to us, Lord. And I just pray You'd use me tonight, Lord, to be an encouragement and a blessing to these Your sheep, Lord, Your beloved children, Lord. And if there's anybody that came in tonight, Lord, that's unsaved, may today be the day of salvation, Lord. May You speak to us. May You give me power, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, and we'll give You all the glory and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I notice about this passage is the shepherd. The shepherd is the main focus of this passage. And I looked up a few of the different names of the shepherd. The shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll turn over to John chapter 10, verse number 11. Jesus is speaking in this passage. And if you notice, He is known as the Good Shepherd. He said, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep." He's known as the Good Shepherd. If you turn over to Hebrews 13 and verse number 20, He is known as the Great Shepherd. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." He's known as the Good Shepherd. He's known as the Great Shepherd. He's also known as the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Turn over to 1 Peter 2:25. I like to hear the pages turning. "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." He's also known as the chief shepherd. That's 1 Peter 5:4. Just turn over a couple of pages. It says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Our God has many names, but one of His names is the Shepherd, and I'm so glad He's known as the Shepherd. The Lord is my Shepherd, and I heard Pastor Lashley say many times, "Is He your Shepherd?" He's my Shepherd, I'm so glad. I shall not want. I notice His names. I notice also His provision. Psalm 34:10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." You know, God provides all of our physical needs. He also provides all of our spiritual needs, emotional needs. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus Christ has laid down His life for you and me, so that He might save us from eternal damnation. So I noticed the names of the shepherd. I noticed the provision of the shepherd. I also know the providence of the shepherd. Turn over to Matthew 28 and verse number 18. It's no doubt that this psalm is, just a little side note here, this psalm is talking about us as we go through life. We are following God. If we are saved, we're going down the pathway of life, and we are following God. Now, God has said plainly in His Word, let me skip back and say, that every single person ever born, They begin with God and they end with God. What you do in between is very important. If you take Him, if you accept Him as your Savior, He becomes your shepherd and He will guide you through this life. But every single person that's ever born, they begin with God and they end with God. John 1:9 says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." That's the beginning. Everybody, when they are conceived in the womb, that's why we're against abortion around here, by the way, is because every life is precious in God's sight. Every single person that's ever born, they begin with God. And that's believer and non-believer, because the Bible also says, Acts 10:42, "And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick," that's alive, that's people that are born again, "and dead." God is going to judge the quick and the dead. So, this psalm is talking about believers. It's written to believers. "Is the Lord your shepherd?" So we notice His names. We notice His provision. We also notice His providence. Matthew 28:18 says, "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He has all power. He is sovereign. He can do whatever He wants to. That's a pretty good, I want Him as my shepherd. And I think anybody that has got a half a brain would want Him as their shepherd. He has all power. Nobody can stop Him from doing whatever He wants to do. Look at Psalm chapter number 147 and verse number 4. Just noticing some things tonight about our God. We can serve a wonderful God, you know. And honestly, we could be here all night reading passages about our God. You can't come to the end of them. It's impossible. It says, "He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names." You know, they can't even count the stars yet. They don't even know. Scientists, they can look up in the sky, and they have tried several times to be able to count all the stars, and it's impossible to do. But God knows all their names. I can't imagine the wisdom of God. You can't come to the end of them. Turn to Matthew chapter number 10. We'll look at verse number 30. Matthew 10:30 says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." He knows every single hair on all of our heads. And He doesn't know like 1, 2, 3. He knows if He plucked off a hair on my head, He'd say, "Okay, that's number 55. He knows all of the hairs on our heads. And my daughter would say, "Sierra, that he knows how many hairs are missing off the back of my head." So so we got a wonderful shepherd. I wanted to lift Him up tonight. He is the focus of this passage. The second thing I want to think about is the sheep. You know, I think about God's Word and how privileged we are, those of us that have trusted Him as Savior, the blessings that we have, the Word of God that we have. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 John 5:3. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." That means the Word of God and the boundaries that He has set, the commands that He has given us, He did not give them to harm us. He didn't give them to us to keep us from enjoying life. He gave them to us to keep us from the consequences of sin. And I've heard Pastor Jody say this 100 times, maybe more. The devil will show you the thrill, but he will not show you the kill. He will not show you the consequences of sin. But we have a loving God that has given us His Word, and His commandments are not grievous. They're for our benefit. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." God has come to give us an abundant life, a life that's not spent in vanity. When I think about you folks here, or my friends really, I know some of you folks have made such a difference in my life. Pastor Lashley and so many of you folks have just taught me the Word of God. You spent time teaching me Bible verses and praying for us. And I'm trying my best to serve the Lord in Hawaii. I'm trying my very best. But I have to say I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. Every time I read my Bible through in a year, I always think about Pastor Lashley. Boy, he just drilled that into our heads. Read your Bible through every year. Read your Bible through every year. And I'll tell you something. The Bible has changed my life. By reading my Bible through each year, it has changed my life. And I'm still growing. I'm still not what I ought to be, but it is changing my life. When I think about Pastor Jody, and we're sad to see what's going on in his life, but you know what? He has not spent the last 20 years at Buffalo Ridge in vain. He has invested in so many people here. God has used him in such a mighty way. And I do not think for one second that God was done with him. There's just no possible way. His ministry, even if he never preached another sermon, would go on because of how many people God has used him, how many lives he's used him to touch. And when you spend your life serving the Lord, it is not in vain. I'll ask you a question, though. Are you a sheep? Are you truly a sheep? You know, I look around, and every time it seems like I turn on the news, I hear about some kind of so-called Christian. And the world seems to really be getting more and more dangerous every day. And a few weeks ago, I was reading an article about a young so-called gospel singer that was having an immoral relationship, something that God calls an abomination in the book of Leviticus. And I scratched my head and I said, how can this person claim to know Christ and be doing something so opposed to what God is and to what God teaches in His Word? And the Bible says that these people, they have changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. We've got people today, that's Romans 1:23. They are changing God instead of who He is and who He is defined by in His Word. They are imagining and changing Him and bringing Him down to their level. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:5, that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And from such, turn away. You know, anytime we change God into what we want Him to be, He ceases to be God. Because He is holy. He is perfect. He doesn't ever change. He doesn't need to change. You can't improve on perfect. You cannot improve on holy and perfect. I'm afraid that there's a lot of folks today that are missing out on the salvation that's freely given because they don't want to let go of their sin. They don't want to repent. They don't want to be changed. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. When you accept Christ, when you say, God, I'm going this way, but I want to change. I want to let go of my sin and take Your hand. He gives you the power to change. But if we're not willing to let go of our sin, God does not come into our life. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So question, are you truly a sheep tonight? When you came to Christ, did you do it through humility? Did you realize, hey, I sinned against Almighty God and I need to be forgiven? Or did you come to Him and say, I'm going to pray a prayer and I'm going to go on with the rest of my life and live it the way I want to live? Anytime anybody comes into contact with the Holy God, they are always changed. I don't care who it is. He changes. When His Holy Spirit comes inside, He will change you. That is a product of salvation. So we have noticed the shepherd. We've noticed the sheep. Lastly, I want to think about the shadow. I was just thinking about this psalm, and I told Brother Marty, and I was actually planning on preaching on something else, and then with everything going on with the church, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to preach out of this chapter. And if you'll turn over to John chapter 11 and wait for me there, we'll look at it. You know, the shadow is something that it's temporary. It doesn't last very long. As I was just meditating on the psalm, it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." So here's a sheep, and he's going through life, and picture of a child of God. He's enjoying the blessings of God. You know, I've never had as much fun as I'm having now. I've never had as much fun that I'm having until I became a Christian. You don't really get to enjoy life until you become a Christian. The world is actually missing out on the joy of being a Christian. So as I was, a picture of a sheep going down, enjoying life and enjoying the blessings of God. And I thought, well, you know, why does God lead them in to the valley of the shadow of death? You know, I thought, well, maybe sometimes we start to focus a little bit too much on the blessings. Maybe sometimes we get complacent, or we get comfortable, or in my shape, I get a little fat. We get a little hard-hearted. I don't know. Or maybe sometimes we don't do anything at all. You know, when God leads us into the shadow and the darkness, you know, if you think about it, you can only really focus on three things. You can't focus on the green pastures anymore. You can't focus on the still waters anymore. You can focus on Him, you can focus on yourself, or you can focus on the darkness. It's one of the three. And you know what? I don't think He wants us to focus on the darkness. And I don't think He wants us to focus on ourselves either. I think He wants us to focus on Him. That's the whole purpose of taking us into the valley of the shadow of death. There are times in our lives when we're going to go through valleys. And I don't like it. It's painful. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." That's a Bible word. That's not talking about being tempted to sin. That's talking about being tested, having your faith tested. It says, "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Acts 14:22 says, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Philippians 3:10 says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." The fellowship of his sufferings. "Being made conformable unto his death." I heard years ago, some of the young folks probably never heard of this man. His name was Mace Jackson. But he said something that stuck with me. He said, "God can never really use somebody until they've been broken." And nobody wants to volunteer for that. But there's something about suffering that glorifies God. It's a tool. It's a tool that He uses to help us be more like Christ. Let's read John chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, when we were in Hawaii, and I heard what was going on with Buffalo Ridge and with Brother Jody and several people that had been lost. Brother Jack Moser, he led my grandfather to the Lord and my dad. He was a great man of God. And you know, I've just had this verse, John 11:4, in my heart for months now. I have it in my heart for Brother Jody. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. The things, the difficulties that this church is going through right now is not unto death. It's not the end of this church. It's for the glory of God. Folks, God is doing something here. I don't understand it all. I wish I did. We might not ever understand it. But I promise you, on the authority of God's Word, when He takes us into those valleys, when He leads us through those tough times and those trials, it's not to kill us, even though at times we might feel like we're going to die. It's for His glory. It's for to make us, help us be, to help us be more like Him. And so, I hope that you'll pray more than you've ever prayed. I hope you will seek the Lord more than you've ever sought the Lord. I hope you will rise up and help these deacons, help these young pastors, these folks trying to serve the Lord, Dr. Stevens. I hope you will move forward as a church. I hope you will surround and love Brother Jody, a brother in Christ. He's down right now, but I know that God is going to bring him out of it. I do not doubt for a second. I don't know when. Or I should say, I don't know if. I just wonder when it's going to be. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting to see this church move on. God is going to take this church to the next level. God is going to take Brother Jody to the next level. And so, in closing, I'm going to ask again, are you truly a sheep? Are you going through the shadow right now? Is there a personal valley you're going through? Look to God. Focus on the shepherd. He will bring you through. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants you to spend time with Him in His Word. He wants to minister to your every need. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and lead us in a closing song. I'd like for everybody to bow their head and close their eyes.
As they play, you consider what Brother Stills has just shared with us. What a great reminder. The valley of the shadow of death. It's only for a short time. It's not something that's going to continue. It's not meant to. I encourage you to, if there's something that's particularly on your mind, you'd come and that you would bring that to the Lord and ask Him to help you through that valley. If you want to come and pray for Brother Jody, you want to come and pray for our church, whatever it might be, it would be an appropriate time to do just that. They'll play one more verse, and no one comes. We will move forward with our prayer meeting this evening. you can look up this.